SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races. Weekend preview, and we've got the action at Oaklawn starting shortly, and then into tomorrow. And, of course, we've been so focused on Gulfstream, we haven't mentioned the mixed hybrid day at Santa Anita, which includes the Cal Cup race and some other straggler kinds of things like Sunshine Million event and the Unzip Me. And so there's a little bit of everything going on. Hammer, God knows what action you're most interested in going into the weekend. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we're keeping you guessing, and I'm going to throw a little curveball at you right here because you know we've done the show from who knows where I've called in, from Haight-Ashbury, Yosemite, anywhere,
yeah.
Parts unknown. But I'm actually at the heartbeat, sitting across the table from John Parada, but more importantly, across from Casey, who I've never met before. I'm in the studio.
How funny is that?
At the Races studio. I says, hi.
That's hysterical.
Is that hysterical? I says, you know, don't tell Steve. I'll see if I can keep this quiet. And called John this morning. I said, let's take a drive up, and told Casey, and it was great. So anyway, I'm here in Southern Florida.
Oh, that's great.
Is
good
that
job.
Great? Yeah, I got
good
a, job. On Monday, a friend of mine, Mark Otto, for Red Brand, Red Brand Fence, one of the sponsors, called me and said, hey, would you and Gina want to come to the Eclipse Awards? And of course, the immediate answer is, nah. And I said, you know what? I've been underground for a couple of months. Maybe it's a good place to kind of show up. And I'm glad I came. Gina and I came and back to our old stomping grounds down here, and went to the awards last night, and sat at a great table with Gina and Mark and his wife Nancy, and Michael Blowen was there at our table, and Mike and Michelle Pena and Acacia Courtney and Jeff Bloom. So we had a ball. And really enjoyed the fast version of the awards last night that they put on. It really was noticeable how they moved it along. And we've all been to these in our past, and usually it's, you're looking at your watch after a couple hours. But they moved it along really well, and it was great to see a lot of people. And figured, you know what? More importantly, I really wanted to come up and meet Casey, which I've talked to for years and years and years. And he's got a great little gig going on down here, and he's very upbeat, and glad to be here.
Well, you got to get a picture, get a snap of a shot so I can slap it up and get it on the website and tweet it out too. Very slowly and steadily, Casey's meeting everybody. He met Jay Privman a couple of years ago, and trying to think of who else. So there's been a, you know, a slow, steady trickle of visitors over the years. That's awesome. Good job. I could tell right away you had a real quality sound when you said hello. But it didn't even occur to me that you were sitting there. That's awesome.
It is. And it's wild with the, you know, just to let everybody know, it's a real studio.
Yes, it is. A couple of them.
He's got the soundboard going. We got the mics up and the and everything else. So no, it's just I tell you the truth, it was great. It is great.
And John, are you mic'd up?
I am, Steve. Good to talk to you. Yeah, it's amazing who you find wandering around the streets in South Florida these days. But we'll do a photo of two bald guys and Casey with his new hair.
Nice.
Casey's got the little, I don't know what you call it, little dreads or something.
Sweet. I would love to have some little dreads.
Yeah. We can buy you some.
It's too late for you.
One of those hats.
Maybe back when you were following the dead. That was your opportunity. To get beat it up. I don't think we got time to deal with the postscript to the awards, unless Rick actually, you know, because of the West Coast, I did tweet you last night how pleased I was for specifically for Costa Aronis, and also John Gunther. I thought those two, and I'm sure John Parada, you can appreciate.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
It's a career achievement for Gunther.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
He's had a great run, too. I mean,
yeah.
This isn't a one-hit wonder.
No, it's not a one-hit wonder.
By any means. But you mentioned California. I just was counting down. I think California won 10 awards last night, people and horses. And it was one of the other reasons I kind of wanted to be there to see some of the horses we got to see run throughout the year there. And you know, Peter Miller had a banner night. But you mentioned, I agree with you, John Sadler's crew, but Costa Aronis and him and his brother Pete, and their well-deserved ownership award, and they were really humble, and it was great to see him like live on the spot after he won the award, and really congratulations to everybody that won, all gracious winners, and congratulations to the people that moved the show along. Janine Edwards, of course, did a wonderful job keeping things in order, and she's does a great job anyway, but it really moved along. I said maybe one of the NTRA moments of the year will be the swiftness of the award show this year.
Rick, I do want to ask you one thing. I mentioned it on Wednesday, but I had tabled it to bring up with you as it happens. The sad and sudden passing of Dan Gatto, and I don't know how often he might have come by the office, the racing office, or if you know, from days at Del Mar either. But I don't know if you've got anything you can speak to, but it just was sudden and tragic. And Vasilika did her part to lift everybody's spirits the other day.
Yes, you know, and I never had the pleasure, to tell you the truth, you know, being involved in those partnerships of some of the horses. I don't get to meet everyone involved, but I've since that happened, I've really have heard a lot of stories about him, and all good. So I'm always sorry to see a good you know, good person like that leave not only the game but leave us. So I can't personally speak for it, but I've heard nothing but good.
Nice. Well, it just seemed sudden, and well, it was sudden, and I didn't want it to go unappreciated. Obviously went on a great run with the acclaim of Vasilika, and with everything that has gone on with her winning the Megahertz on Monday. Let's talk, guys, about what's happening there tomorrow. And John, when you started, certainly I don't think you could imagine that a race like this might come to pass, two races really, because they're doing this, what I think is going to end up being a short-lived experiment with the turf race, but some thoughts about a $7 and $9 million race back to back tomorrow.
Yeah, like you say, I couldn't have imagined it being one race. It would have been maybe 100 races or, you know, or 50 races or something like that, but it is pretty amazing. And you see what one of these old expressions that we've always used is that the horses follow the money. So, you know, horses will show up. They'll fill the fields for that kind of. There's a filly in the turf race, Magic Wand, that I saw run several times over in Ireland. A nice one of the Coolmore horses. I don't know if she can she can do it in this group, but she is getting in with 112 pounds, which is nice. And, you know, as we say, Aidan O'Brien is never to be underestimated. But,
well, you know, Steve, the first year of the turf, they invited, I think it was a good plan. I mean, $16 million for the one race. Well, let's try and get two out of it. And, you know, for the $9 million, you got the two horses that ran in the Breeders' Cup dirt races and won them both, with City of Light and Accelerate, who looked like the two best dirt horses at the end of the year, and they're back here. And then you look at the turf division for $7 million. You know, it's kind of a mishmash. And start off by saying who won our turf award last night? Stormy Liberal, who's a sprinter. So that kind of tells you, well, you know, our turf division was a little a bit in disarray last year, and there's a couple horses in the turf division that did run in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. I think one ran 11th and one ran 13th, so it's kind of a mishmash. So you can take this race and say, you know what? Let's just go with the two invaders. Let's take Magic Wand and the filly from and the filly from Japan and say, you know what? Let's just assume they're better than anything we have and roll with that. Or take a couple steps back and say, okay, my initial reaction was only three horses that have a chance to win this race, and one of those was Catapult. He finished the best of any of these in any of the Breeders' Cup races. Been on a little bit of a roll. John Sadler's been on a little bit of a roll, so that was my initial reaction was, huh. Then you look at Yoshida, and you got to think that if Bill wanted to put this horse in the dirt division, what would he have been third choice, fourth choice at the least for $9 million? But I think he figured, you know what, let's take a look, and if he runs his best races back, he's going to be very tough to beat in here. So there's two ways to look at it. I think those two horses for ours stand out, but I can't toss the two fillies that are invading from east and west. So I think if they do this next year, it'll be on the map a little bit, so to speak, and you'll see a better representative field worldwide. But $7 million isn't what it used to be, I guess. Not that I know.
Well, some final thoughts too about the dirt race. Let's hammer go on with it, and of course the West Coast, the linchpin here with Accelerate and City of Light.
Yeah, and as I go up and down, I mean, it's not like these guys have misfired every other race or two during the year. They've both been on a high level. They both run well, race after race after race. There's no reason for me to think different. Mile and Eighth is probably Accelerates better distance, although he won four races at a mile and a quarter this year. I think he's just going as good as he was. He never took a dip. He just kind of stayed on that level, and there's no reason to believe right now that he was not at that level again. Excuse me, looking for a little horse with a little bit of a price. I ended up on the Tom's de Tat horse. I'm buying in. I like the way this horse has done it. True Timber, I tried to make it. I'm a little worried about the distance, but the Tom de Tat horse, Albert Stahl, might be the little bit of a goofball horse in there that I'll be looking at, but I'm not looking trying to do much more than watch the best horses run around there again, and I think they're going to run 1-2.
There you go. That seems to be a consensus for the most part. And John, any dissenting opinion or anything clever?
No,
to
really,
offer
Steve. I think the fact that those two horses, who I agree with Rick, are just they kind of stand out. The fact that they didn't draw poorly, because this is one of those races that if you draw 9 or 10 or anything, 11, 12, you're shot. You got no chance. And that they drew and got legitimate posts. I think it'll be one of them. And I've liked Mike McCarthy's colt all year, and I think if he shows up, he's going to be the one to beat, but we shall see.
And weather-wise, it rained a little bit yesterday, the little Florida normal rain, and this probably soaked it right up. There's no rain scheduled today. It might get a little sprinkle in the morning. The turf could have a little give to it, but it should be fast, and it's not going to be firm, but it'll be in good order.
You might get a shower overnight, but nothing serious. Not going to get a washout or anything like that.
No.
Nothing like that.
In fact,
should be good racing.
A little overnight rain won't actually
tighten things up.
Yeah, exactly. Give everybody a chance to get their toe in the ground at least. Well, any other opinions that you happen to come upon, or is this where we?
My opinion is it's good to get back to South Florida.
Yeah.
Hit La Tub, as we always have to hit. So the trip's complete. But it's wild.
I love it. We were there yesterday. Yeah.
Good job. Good job. Well, I could only say I wish I was there, and that we were all sitting around the round table in the main studio. And I'm delighted you went over that. Very cool, Hammer. Great job.
I'm taking Rick to Nuevos Cubanos
nice.
For a Cuban sandwich after we leave here. So
excellent.
Treat him to
That's
that.
A another good decision. Yeah. And also Bake Shop. You got to get it?
Oh, Bake Shop. It's now on. It's a regular spot and it's a stop.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Got
it. Actually, you have to mention Steve Bick's name to get a table now. Yeah, they only have 8 tables, and you have to.
I know we put the Spurs to that joint. Yeah. I send everybody there.
They've got a maitre d' now. No, just kidding.
It's maitre d'.
Knock out a wall.
Yeah, it's one of the grifters on the federal that are wandering around. Right. That's the maitre d'.
Help yous.
He's parking cars.
Help yous.
Yeah. Don't give your keys. Don't give your keys to that guy, because the car won't be there when you come back.
That's great.
Well, the only thing missing, Hammer, you've got an opportunity to hit the dog track in Hialeah. You got to make it complete.
Hialeah is a possibility. Here comes Hollywood. Probably not.
No, it's over.
It's over.
They're done.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Probably.
You got to go up to Palm. You got to go up to Palm Beach.
Glad I got you there when we had the chance, Steve.
Oh, it's
that used to be.
No, I'll tell you a quick dog track story. Steve and I, we walked into to Hollywood because he'd never been. We're betting on the dogs, and we look up and this dog that's 5-1 pays like $35. I said, how can that be? Then we realized that they were doing all their payoffs in $5 increments.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That was a big night because we got Hialeah in at Dania, and we got the dogs in. And I had Steve Crist when the news came about the situation in Florida, and Crist was in every winter. If you wanted to talk to Steve Crist, all you had to do was go to Hollywood. To the dog track every night. There he was.
Before we get off it, and this is a conversation that Rick and I had on the way over here, is that there's a good lesson to be learned by watching what happened to the dog racing, because we know that those dogs, yes, Steve Crist, are they mistreated? No, they're treated like kings, most of them. Here and there, there's a bad apple that mistreats their dog, like there's a bad apple that mistreats their horse. And for you know, the forces that wanted to spin that so well that it no longer exists is something that people in horse racing should remember and keep in mind. So just be careful.
And the animal right people were financially well armed in that. I mean, they had a huge financial advantage, and they just hammered away up in Boston. I mean, that was Taunton and Wonderland and so forth, and it became a financial wherewithal issue. Here the decoupling question and some of that figures in, and there are operators that would like to continue, and then there's some that are not upset that they're not going to continue. So it's an interesting discussion. But what it's going to do, it is is going to shrink the situation, the shrink the industry down on the greyhound front. Who's going to be in business to breed and I mean, there's not going to be enough of a. I mean, how many tracks will be left? I think 7 or 8.
5, I think it is.
5?
Yeah.
Is that the number?
Yeah.
And Southland and so forth?
Yeah.
Now, that's a tough topic. Yeah. I hate it. All right. Well, let me thank the two of you for making the effort to get to the studio. That's so cool that Hammer now knows. Now you know how the sausage is made, Rick.
Absolutely. I knew this is where it was if I had to come to the homeland.
I love it.
And well, Tina's here. Tina's here too.
Well, and give her a squeeze.
Give her a biscuit.
And I will. I'll get some recap from you guys next week. The Hammer, enjoy, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Take care, Steve.
John Parada and Rick Hammerly together again, but in the studio. You can't, how great is that? We're going to stay right here because we're going to do 10 minutes with Mary Rampolini, 10 minutes with Rich Eng, 10 minutes with Mike Welch. It'll actually be more like 7 minutes each, but for the purposes of ease. Mary Rampolini is going to join us. And Mary, of course, has got really two opening days to keep track of. Opening day at Oaklawn, a little bit bigger, obviously. And Sam Houston Race Park opens as well today. Their big day is Sunday, right away. They're not wasting any time at Sam Houston. Mary Rampolini, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
I'm terrific. You're not going to have to drive like from Hot Springs to Houston tomorrow or Sunday or Saturday.
Weekends, no, I will be glued to simulcast though.
That a girl. Well, let's first of all kick off any of the issues and any of the topics at Oaklawn. The new schedule starting a week later, going all the way to Derby. Rolling doubles finally added to the betting menu. Give us an overview of the Oaklawn season.
Yes, Steve. I really think they're moving into a new era, and it starts this year, and it's going to be extending, several years, some of the expansion projects going on. But essentially, the new dates, that's part one, what you mentioned. They'll be racing to Kentucky Derby Day. We're starting a little later this year. They have built a new winner's circle. Oakland doesn't have hadn't had a winner's enclosure. The pictures were taken on the track as you know, and then if you had a stakes win, there's an infield enclosure to go into. So that's a new thing, and it's named for Larry Snyder, the rider and longtime steward that we lost this past winter. So it's a very emotional kind of celebration of his life, the winner's circle. He certainly spent a lot of time in the winner's circle as a jock, won a lot of races. And, looking down the line, they're going to expand the gaming area. After this meet closes, they're going to start to do that. And then when the following meet closes in 2020, they will finish construction of a 7-story hotel. Those projects are $100 million in improvements to Oaklawn. So really, they're going to be an all-in-one stop before long, tourist destination.
Well, and the sons, the Sella children that go on with it, and one of the really the only, not the only, but there are other families that the Careys in Chicago, but it's such a unique circumstance at Oaklawn, and the generations of the Sella family that really are just so ingrained in the community and have really seen the uptick at Hot Springs. We talk about it all the time, and the two visits we've had over the last 3 years, we'll be back again this year. Oaklawn has been instrumental in really kind of bringing Hot Springs back to life. Mary, let's hit the highlights when it comes to the horsemen and the riders and some of the things that we'll be talking about between now and Arkansas Derby Day, and even past Arkansas Derby Day this year.
That's right. Well, with purses at about $550,000 a day, that's what they're projected to average. As you can imagine, there was an over request for stalls. But some of the new faces are coming in from the East Coast this year, and namely, Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito is coming in. Typically, he said he spent the last 30 to 35 years wintering in South Florida. So this is a big move for him. Another East Coast connection, Joe Bravo, is coming in to ride. It'd be the first time he is based at Oaklawn. Other folks that are coming back, Mark Cassie had been away for a few years, and he is back with a division. And in talking to him, he said he's real excited about the young prospects he has. And then also Larry Jones, who has been away for several years, is back. And in talking to him, Fox Hill Farms, Rick Porter, really wanted to take a look at the Oaklawn meet again, with the young talent they have in their barn. You start now maiden special weights at $77,000. If you've got some nice young prospects this time of year, that's a lot of money to run at for a maiden allowance.
Mary, before we talk any opinions, let's also give a preview for the Sam Houston season. And Sam Houston did get a little lucky with that bad weather in scheduled for Hallandale on Sunday. Gulfstream backed off the force distribution of their Rainbow Six, which would have had everybody focused there. Instead, Sam Houston should be the beneficiary of some handle and attention with the Ladies Classic. With one of the finalists in the three-year-old Philly division, Midnight Bizou starting there. You got the Connolly, and then you got a very good undercard with like another six stakes.
Yes, their biggest night at Sam Houston, Steve, as you said, six stakes, $725,000 in purses. And, of course, the highlights include Midnight Bizou. She's starting her four-year-old season, much anticipated. Coming off the Breeders' Cup distaff, a very fast-closing third, multiple grade one winner. She's exciting in there. And then you also have Bigger Pitcher trying to make a little history. He's going to try to win the Connolly Cup for the third year in a row. Candid Glenn is the only other horse to have won three runnings of that race, and he did them consecutively. And then Hoagie, very popular Hoagie, now 10, is trying to win the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint for the second year in a row. Hoagie and Bigger Pitcher, of course, coming in for trainer Mike Maker, who has won six runnings of the Connolly Cup, which is incredible, including the last five. So, big day there. It's the only Sunday card of the meet, and it will be an afternoon card, and it'll start at 1 p.m. Central Time. So, Sam Houston really gearing up. Mike Smith will be in town to ride Midnight Bizou, sign some autographs ahead of the races for the on-track fans.
I'm glad you brought that up. You can, Mike, one of the opportunities of the weekend today at 2 o'clock at Gulfstream, Dwayne Lucas signing his book. So a chance for people to meet Wayne and a chance to meet Mike on Sunday at Sam Houston. And of course, Sam Houston with the aggressive pricing on their wagers, very attractive, and wish them the best of luck. They've done a lot of things right the last several years, and hope they have a great meet down there. Let's get a couple of opinions, Mary, before we go. Today, the Smarty Jones, and here's Jinx Fires trying to pull off Arch 2.0.
That's right. Great attempt. You know, he looks really good on paper, making his two-turn debut. The Smarty Jones is a mile race, and that configuration at Oaklawn, this race will end at the 16th pole. This horse has a lot of speed. I think he's the type of horse that you got to watch that could try to pull a wire job in there. Steve Asmussen is loaded for Bear, very accomplished long-range toddy in there, two-time stakes winner, won the Springboard Mile last out, and Bankit is another really horse that merits a lot of attention for trainer Steve Asmussen there as well. He just missed in the Springboard Mile. He really came rolling. So, kind of a nice look at some of the local three-year-olds that we'll see as the meet goes on in this series towards the Arkansas Derby.
Well, Mary, looking forward to Oaklawn, not just today, but really all winter and spring. They got a nice day in the 40s and sunny, so should be comfortable and great start. The cards these first 3 days look tremendous. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the maiden races or that allowance tomorrow. That came up earlier where Jersey Agenda and Jack Van Berg are going to face off. There's also Brad Cox has got that interesting Take Charge Indy Colt in there, pole setter, Bill Van Meter with the PB Rocket. That's a big race tomorrow, ahead of the stake, actually. The stake, the American Beauty for the fillies and mares, going six, but that seventh race allowance should merit some attention.
Yes, those will be some three-year-olds we might see on in the Southwest and the Rebel going forward for sure.
Mary Rampolini, everybody, and Mary covering the Mid-South like nobody, and that's from Louisiana to Texas to Arkansas, everything else, Oklahoma, you name it. And Mary, I appreciate it. Good luck to everybody there at Hot Springs as well as down in Houston at SHRP.
Thank you, Steve.
Mary Rampolini, folks. Follow Mary, DRF Rampolini, and she has compiled, if you go to her Twitter page, the link, or you can also go to DRF Live. She's got all of the weekend action for both Sam Houston and Oaklawn, all on one page, all the previews, everything you would want. Great resource. Mary does that really on a daily basis. She and Marcus Hirsch for the forum. We'll stay right here because Rich Eng, I promised we would get to Rich today and get some opinions from him. Rich Eng joins us from Vegas. Rich Eng for Pro Pick. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Glad to get to you, and you know, certainly the West Coast action, and you'll have your plays at RaceDayLasVegas.com. But I want to get some post eclipse thoughts from you, and a couple of opinions about Pegasus.
Well, I guess the only point I'll bring up was I put something on Facebook. I was just curious that you know, Chad Brown won over Bob Baffert. I know there's nothing wrong with Chad Brown. His season was just unbelievable. But I am such in awe of what Bob Baffert did last year with Justify, because, you know, if we turn the time clock back to May, you know, here we are with an unraced two-year-old coming into the Derby, and, you know, they've got the Apollo curse, and, you know, Baffert and Justify put that curse to bed for a while. But for an unraced two-year-old then to go on and win the Preakness and the Belmont, I just thought it was such a masterful training job by Baffert in such a short window of time. I'm convinced, Steve, that we will see an unraced two-year-old win the Derby probably pretty soon, because it's just the way the horses are being handled leading up on the road to the Triple Crown. But I think to see an unraced two-year-old win the Triple Crown, I don't think I'm going to be around on Earth when that happens the next time. So I just thought Baffert. I voted for Baffert, but I can certainly understand voting for Chad Brown. I mean, this man's going to win a lot of Eclipse Awards for top trainer. But I was just so in awe of what Baffert did last season.
And you're not in the minority, really. Maybe minority on the votes, obviously, because Chad outpolled Baffert. But also, I know David Israel, you know, who I respect. David wrote a similar kind of a missive in response to Jay's recap of the eclipse, and he said the same thing, and also included Mike Smith in there. And the point he was making is that, you know, this is such a unique achievement, and I certainly felt that way about the Horse of the Year vote that I made. But I couldn't pull the trigger on Baffert and Smith superseding the year long accomplishments of Chad Brown and Irad and so forth. So this is one of the really, I would say, fun and intriguing aspects of Eclipse Award voting, is that everybody, much like everybody has their own opinion in the mutual pools, everybody that votes, that is following racing, hopefully closely, they have their own version of what, in their mind, of what constitutes singular achievement in a given season.
Yeah, I certainly understand the argument, and I have no complaints about Chad Brown winning, and people have sent me messages that, you know, the award is for what you do in 12 months, not what you do in 4 months. But, you know, certainly Bob Baffert has a resume that's pretty strong, too, if you look over the 12 months. But just the work would Justify. I mean, you know, to have two Triple Crowns, I know what he did previously with American Pharoah has nothing to do with the voting for 2018, but I'm just saying that to have two Triple Crown winners in such a short span, I mean, this is, you know, when we look back at Bob Baffert and the achievements, you know, 20, 30 years from now, it's just going to be just unbelievable.
Well, Rich, let's turn our attention to the weekend. We got about 5 minutes to 10 of, and then Mike Welch is going to swing through. Some opinions from you, your thoughts on the feature, both main track and turf tomorrow.
You know what? I'm gonna beg off because I really want to crunch tonight.
Okay.
And so you know, I don't want to put myself out on a limb when I haven't.
I got you. I got you.
So
not a problem. No, not at all. That's completely understandable. I should have realized that you would have done a Brisnet. It's on Brisnet.
Well, I'm going to be doing a what I call a Saturday Stakes preview sheet, which I'll be doing the Gulfstream, all the stakes races. It'll be something I'll have ready tonight and available for my subscribers, available for $6.50, Steve. But I'll do all the work and I'll really put in the time and effort.
Of course.
I try to do the best job I can.
No, always. I never have to worry about that. Well, Rich, anything for today? Santa Anita, maybe a spot?
Well, let me give two horses today rather than at this point tomorrow. First, I'll give a horse that's my simulcast play of the day. I've actually had an unbelievable run with my simul plays of the day, Steve. I have won 8 of the last 9
Attaboy.
Simulcast picks on my sheet. I'm going to try for 9 out of 10 today. Let's go to the Fairgrounds, race number 2. I'm going to give out the number 1 horse, Dream Passage. A horse that should be able to save some ground and rally pretty strong along the rail. 7-2 in the morning line. So that's number 1, Dream Passage, race 2 at Fairgrounds. And as far as a horse at Santa Anita, I really like the number in race 1, number 1, Love and Peace, second time out in the U.S. for Neil Drysdale. This horse ran pretty well in the debut in the stakes race, but ran without Lasix. Runs with Lasix today, gets Joe Talamoa for Neil Drysdale. I think this horse can do a nice inside-outside trip, saving ground early and then angling out late. So let's go for race number 1 at Santa Anita, the 1, Love and Peace.
Love and Peace, and there we go. And then for those looking for Rich's opinion, for tomorrow, you can go to Race Day Las Vegas, not just tomorrow, but any day, racedaylasvegas.com. Bop on your cursor on Rich's noggin. And Rich, good luck today, tomorrow, all weekend. Oaklawn, part of the mix now, too. You can add that for the occasional Simo play. And we'll talk next week.
Yeah, I hope folks cashed on my 2 football picks from last week. I did have
plus
3.5. And
that's right.
On the money line.
That a boy. That's right. And next week we'll get your Super Bowl push. You've been on a nice run. You 3 for 3 the last 2 weekends.
Oh, the blind squirrel theory.
not exactly. Rich Eng, folks, and you follow Rich on Twitter, Rich Eng for Pro Pick. Let's take our last break of the morning. Mike Welch on the other side to wrap up the coverage from Hallandale toward tomorrow's Pegasus Day. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier 3-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and 3-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got 2 sandwiches, one for back at the hotel, and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, less than 10 minutes to close out this busy weekend preview, and nobody's been busier than Mike Welch and the clocking team from the Daily Racing Form, Palm Meadows and Palm Beach Downs and Gulfstream and more. And Mike, obviously just a head-turning card beyond the two Pegasus races tomorrow. Good morning.
Yeah, this is what we kind of been waiting for here all winter long, something like this, a full day of these great stakes, you know, culminating with the two big races. And, you know, even though the Pegasus Turf came up a little short of expectations as far as the number of horses in the field, it may be quality-wise a little bit for 7 million. It's still going to be a wide-open, terrific betting race and, you know, a terrific 1-2 punch to end the day.
Let's hit a couple of workout highlights and give us your overview. Talk about the feature first.
Well, you know, one problem for me has been that not many of these horses have had been doing their preparations here. Only have only gotten to see a few of them. Unfortunately, I did get to see City of Light's final work, and that was eye catching. I thought his last work at Santa Anita was terrific, just watching it on the X-Bet tape, but seeing him here in person and watching him go through that, I couldn't believe it. You know, at the end of the day, he wound up the bullet half mile as easily as he did it, and then the gallop out as strong as he did, Javier just sitting on him, nice and chilly. He's obviously come in here, you know, ready for another peak effort to end his career, but you know, from what I see on tape and from what I see from my clocker colleague Toby Terrell in his report out from California, Accelerator's doing just as well, if not better. Toby just raved about his last work, that 58 change at Santa Anita on January 19th. I think he called it the best work he's ever seen from him. So
wow.
That's a pretty large statement. And that was, we had A-minuses and B-pluses going into the Breeders' Cup Classic on him. And here he comes with another eye-catching work. So, you know, obviously they're the two horses to beat. Class-wise, they will stand out a little bit above the rest of these. But, you know, it's a new surface. It's something different for them. And, you know, they still have to go out there and do it. It's a big field. We know it's a little tricky run to the first turn here. That short run there, things can happen. Fortunately, the two of them are drawn, you know, near the inside, which is a little less problematic. But, you know, there are going to be guys in those outside posts that are going to be trying to hustle up and get over and save some ground. So, you know, things can happen when that's the case. And certainly this race, a lot more competitive on paper than last year when Gunrunner, you know, seemed to be a standout. West Coast seemed like to be the clear second choice, and then everybody else was running for third money. That might not be the case here, but maybe it will. I mean, these two guys are obviously coming in on top of their games, and they're both Breeders' Cup winners, so.
I saw that you went City of Light, Accelerate, Gunnavera. If there is an outsider, Mike, that invades, completely upsets the Alpa card, or gets into the exotics at the double-digit prices, who is it?
Well, if we get the wet weather that they're predicting is possible here tomorrow, I'll tell you something awesome. His last work on a muddy track, I mean, it was like the light bulb went off. His first two works here, I didn't care for at all. And then his last work in the mud here, he had his ears pricked. He did it as easy as can be, just loped around there in a minute flat. So, he's down inside. He's in good form right now. Maybe he could kind of plod along down there, especially over the racetrack. Unfortunately, I haven't seen Seeking the Soul. I haven't seen Tom's the Tat. So I don't know much about what to expect from them. Audible has been training terrific. He's a different workhorse now than he was before he won the Florida Derby here. Obviously, he can just throw that, that dull performance out last time. He had a horrible trip there. You didn't want to see that coming into this race. But, I think he's poised to run better. But that was over a wet track that he maybe didn't handle all that well. I don't know. I mean, he handled it okay on Derby Day. But he's got a tough post. I mean, in that. Flavien Prat, who I don't know if he's ever ridden here, if he has, hasn't ridden too many races with that short run to this first turn. He's going to have his work cut out, working out a spot for Audible to save some ground. And, obviously now from post 12, Pattern Recognition, who is probably going to be the pace setter anyway, is really going to have to gun out of there under Jose Ortiz to have any chance here. He's going to have to, just go and clear off and then try to settle in and relax after a big run to the first turn. So that really compromises his chances as well. So, I mean, if I was looking for two behind the top two to fill out like a cold pick three that the Eddie Olczyk sort of used to win the contest here last year, I guess it would be Gunnavera, maybe Something Awesome. And, Bravazo looked okay here the other day. He's down on the rail. He's liable to sneak around and get a pretty good trip from the inside as well. So he might be one that falls into that category as well for, behind the two choices.
Super high five. There you go. City of Light, Accelerate, Gunnavera, Something Awesome, and Bravazo. There's Mike's cold super high five.
I'm just using those to have them finished in all five in the top five. I mean, that'd be like a dream ticket, but you never know. Get luck.
Mike, what time is the report going to go up?
I just put the finishing touches on editing it. I'll send it in. Actually, I did send it in a couple of minutes ago, so how long it's going to take them to turn it around, I'm not sure. I would guess by 2-3 o'clock it should be up there, though.
Very good. And I made the over-under 12 and a half pages.
It might be more than that. Those maiden races, we got a lot of good stuff at those early maiden races as well. So, there's a lot to go through there. And I left on some of the older works on, some of these horses before the Breeders' Cup, a few of them, so you could kind of go back and compare what they were doing then to what they're doing now. But a lot of good info as usual. So my guys did themselves proud at all my guys here in Florida and as well as Toby out there in California.
Outstanding. DRF Welch, everybody. And Mike, don't forget to wish Grenig a happy birthday.
I will do that.
Mike, thanks. Mike Welch, everybody. And, of course, Jay Privman, Mary Rampolini, and DRF McGee, Marty, all chipping in this morning. Nick Tamaro, we'll wish Nick best of luck. Him and Philly Joe, and not just them, but all of the players, of course, in the Pegasus Betting Challenge. We'll track that. Ray Arsenault will be tweeting, and so will Quigley. Kate and Bradar, follower on TVG. Scully, James_Scully111. How about Hammer and John in the studio? Casey, send me the picture. And Rich Ang, too. HRRN, obviously, is going to have great coverage this afternoon. A lot of preview, and then tomorrow in the afternoon. Also, they got the Equine Forum the first thing in the morning, and you got Dave and Bill at 10 o'clock as well, Channel 93. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.